Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null. Love, you got the power, but you just don't understand.
We're going to be talking today about proteins in breast milk protecting the offspring against food allergies from Boston Children's Hospital and Harvard Medical School. We're then going to look at researchers discovering the effective natural anti-cavity herb. Brand new information from West China School and the Academy Center of Dentistry, something they've used for a long time. We should also be considered using this. And now they've found a link between being overweight and cancer. Most people have not recognized this. This comes from the Cancer Research Center of the United Kingdom, published in the Journal of Public Health. And I've said many times on this program, there is no such thing as being healthy and being overweight. Also, a walk at the mall or a walk in the park. A new study shows that mothers and daughters, a walk in the park is best. New research at the University of Illinois. And a lot more on this topic. Then I'm going to have three completely different audio clips to share today. One is hospital workers increasingly the targeting of patients' violence. And then Aaron Russo versus the IRS commissioner. This is one of the most interesting discussions you will ever see. We all pay our taxes, and that's fine. Because without having an income, how would we pay for all of our important social services, including Medicare, Medicaid, public schools, highways? So the question is not, should we pay taxes? The question is the taxing of our labor legitimate? Well, 99% of the public will say, yes, it is, of course, income tax. Russo questions it and asked the IRS commissioner, who also wrote much of this humongous tax code with over 70,000 pages, specific pointed questions. Show me where it's legal. Show me where it's mandated. Show me where we're required to pay it. This is a conversation you will not want to miss because, mind you, this was the man who made the rules, at least when he was commissioner. Also, I'm going to play you what I didn't have ready last week. We just didn't have the time. Abby Martin explaining George Orwell's 1984. And when she's talking about this, imagine what Orwell predicted that we're now living through. For example, just an example, there was a person who had come on someone's property about some damage they had. And then notice what he thought was a marijuana plant. It wasn't it. It was a hibiscus growing. So an entire SWAT team, the police, detectives, everyone raided this elderly couple's home and held them. They were handcuffed. And they're trying to explain it's just a hibiscus. And no one seemed to know the difference between a marijuana plant and a hibiscus plant. But the overreaching here, even if it was marijuana, do you really need a SWAT team and a whole line of police cars and going in gangbusters? How retarded are we? We're a really sick country when you have to take these muscle-bound SWAT teams to serve a summons on someone because they owe a bill. What have we degraded into? 1984 is here. It's been here. And it's unfortunate that some people calling themselves conservative and others calling themselves liberal, more often than not, clueless about true democratic principles, have not recognized the police state we're in because they haven't been searched. They haven't been stopped because they haven't been profiled. They don't meet the profile. They haven't had a SWAT team of 10 guys burst in, shoot your dog, point a gun at your head, threaten to blow your brains out. They would do that in a heartbeat, by the way, and they'd get away with it because somehow they felt threatened. I don't care if you're a 96-year-old man, true story, a 96-year-old man in a nursing home in Chicago who was having some stomach pains, didn't want to go to the hospital, so they called 911. A group of officers came up and ended up shooting the man with a shotgun and killing him. And while he was bleeding to death, they made sure they went through proper police procedures by handcuffing him. How about that? But I'm sure they felt threatened by a 96-year-old invalid. What have we become to? What have the police become? And don't blame the police. Blame yourself. Because we enable it. So this is about 1984. I won't do it today, but tomorrow I'm going to commend belatedly those members of the liberal community who are beginning to question the charges of rape against Bill Clinton. For decades, they protected the Clintons. I'm not going to take on the issue of his rape. The media is doing that themselves. I'm taking on all the issues that they supported and how those impacted we citizens negatively in the world. In effect, it amounted to genocide. And why all those same good liberals never found it in their heart to just say, what has happened? Why would I support these measures of putting people in prison for 20 years? For what? That's tomorrow. And it'll be a whole history lesson in the process. So we have a powerful show today. We always begin with health and healing. And the first discussion is about some research published in the Journal of Experimental Medicine. It indicates that a mother's diet can protect nursing newborns against food allergies. It was conducted by researchers at Boston Children's Hospital and Harvard Medical School, and the study offers an explanation of how breastfeeding can promote tolerance to the foods that most often cause allergens. The study received support from the world's largest funding of food allergy research, and what they found was that when a mother's diet is healthy, the healthy nutrients that the mother's consuming passes through the breast milk into the baby. That then allows the child, as it's developing, not to have the same susceptibility to allergens that they would otherwise have. So healthy mother, healthy breast milk, healthy baby. As a natural traditional Chinese medicine, what is called Galla, G-A-L-L-A, Chinesis, C-H-I-N-E-N-S-I-S. It's been widely used since ancient times, mainly for its astringency and detoxification and antibacterial activity. When a new finding, researchers in China report that the active ingredients in the herb could lead to natural anti-cavity products. Children's cavities are on the rise, and the children today are having many more cavities than what they have historically. So we've got a big dental decay problem worldwide. In fact, the CDC reported there was an increase in the number of preschool children with cavities for the first time in 40 years. So the scientists from Western China School of Academic Center for Dentistry have figured out that the main active ingredient in Galla, which is a natural herb, and to further improve anti-cavity efficacy. The findings were published in the Open Dentistry Journal. And to maintain a healthy mouth, the oral environment must be relatively neutral. So when the environment in the mouth becomes more acidic, there's your alcohol, there's meat, there's sugar. Those few things alone make your mouth very acidic. Then dental cavities or other disorders like gum disease, gingivitis, and periodontal conditions and receding gums manifest. Well, Galla was revealed to inhibit the acid production of caries-associated bacteria, as well as make teeth more resistant to acidic attack. And the Galla originates from an abnormal growth of the root leaf tissue in response to secretion of parasitic aphids. And it's been used for thousands of years due to its antibacterial, antiviral, anti-cavity, antioxidant, anti-cancer, liver-protective, anti-diabetic, and anti-diarrheal, anti-inflammatory, and anti-thrombotic activities. It's a real superstar herb, one of the best in the world. The average American's never heard of it. The average physician has absolutely never heard of it. But for those who practice a more holistic approach, and especially using herbs, it's well known. So just something to consider, and hopefully you're also seeing a holistic dentist in the process. Also, new research shows that grape seed extract is found to prevent tooth decay and extend the life of dental fillings. University of Chicago at Chicago College of Dentistry, the natural compound found in grape seed extract could be used to strengthen dentin, D-E-N-T-I-N, that's the tissue beneath the tooth enamel, and increase the life of resin fillings. That's according to the new research, University of Chicago at the Chicago College of Dentistry. So just remember, no fillings last forever, whether it's composite resin or amalgam, which I'm opposed to. But dentists are always looking for ways to help a patient. Unfortunately, they're suggesting the normal filling, which is 52% mercury, called a silver filling. I would never allow a silver filling in my mouth, and if you have one, I would get it out, because that can lead to oxidative stress of the brain and is a contributing factor to a lot of conditions. In fact, I never will forget this. This goes back to the mid-1980s. I was having a symposium of alternative cancer doctors from around the world. I had rented out a high school, the largest one I could find. It was, I believe it's RFK High School on the East Side, which I rented a lot. And we started in the morning, went clear till the evening. And in between each speaker, we'd take a five-minute break. And this woman comes up to me, and she says, I was listening to your show 5 years ago, and you were talking about the dangers of mercury fillings and how to have them removed and why you should have them removed. And I went back, and my dentist said, you know, first of all, those mercury fillings are harmless, and secondly, they've been there, so, you know, there's no reason to take them out. But I thought, what the heck? So he wouldn't take them out, so I went to another dentist who took out my silver fillings. I had 16 of them. And what began to happen surprised everyone. I had multiple sclerosis, and it was progressive. And since taking out my mercury silver fillings from my mouth, all of my symptoms of multiple sclerosis have dissipated. Then I started hearing you talk about, and she went on to talk about different things I'd mentioned, and she started implementing, and she says, now look. So I invited her up on stage, and then I asked her, would you mind sharing this with the audience? And she starts, I'm guessing there are like 800, 900 people there. So she's walking back and forth, telling her story, showing how she could put one foot in front of the other before she couldn't, and how she has her balance where before she didn't, and by taking out the silver filling. So I said to the audience, anyone here ever experienced a change in your health when you took out the silver fillings? All these hands went up. Yeah, it makes a difference. There's a list, if you Google holistic dentist, and then per area wherever you live around the United States, it'll show you that. And there's a procedure. And Dr. Hal Huggins, I don't know if Hal's still alive or not. I brought him up to Grossinger's at one of our weekend retreats back in the 1980s. He is a terrific, charismatic, very conscientious person. And he was the one who started the whole holistic dentist movement in the United States, telling us about the dangerous mercury fillings. And so get your silver fillings removed. Anyhow, the research is published in the Journal of Dental Research. So keep in mind that dentin is mostly made up of collagen. And collagen, as we know, is the main structural protein in skin and other connective tissues. So resins have to bind to the dentin, but the area between the two, or the interface, is a weak point, causing restorations to break down. So when fillings fail, decay forms around it, and the seal is lost. So you want to reinforce the interface, which will make the resin bond better to the dentin. And the interface can be changed through the use of new natural materials. And about 90% of all adults between 20 and 65 have cavities. But there's no reason to if you take care of your mouth. And I cannot emphasize enough, a lot of you are using mouthwashes that have alcohol in it. Bad idea. That has acid. Yeah, it'll kill bacteria for a little bit, and the bacteria you kill is just going to grow back in another hour. But boy, you're playing havoc with your teeth and your gums. So use alcohol-free, because that bacteria erodes the minerals faster than the tooth can repair itself. So the dentist removes the decay or caries with a drill and seals the hole with a filling. And secondary cavities and margin breakdown are the most frequent cause of failed adhesive restorations. So just something new. Also, from the cancer research in the United Kingdom, published in the Journal of Public Health, it shows that the majority of people in the United Kingdom, but also the United States, they just don't understand the idea that when you're overweight, you are far more likely to develop cancer. There are 13 types of cancer, breast cancer, kidney, bowel, womb, that are associated with being overweight. In fact, obesity is the second biggest preventable cause of cancer after smoking. About 3.4 million deaths worldwide. And we're getting fatter. The whole world is following the United States, wanting what we have. Unfortunately, no one asked, does what we have really help you live a longer life? The answer is no, it shortens your life. You'll see this in countries like China now, in India, in Brazil, that historically had a small percentage of obese people, not today. And of course, that not only is causing a problem for the person when they're overweight, but you also increase your risk of heart attacks, strokes, and inflammatory conditions in your joints. So, exercise every day. And there's this whole internet scam going on, in my opinion. Oh, take this pill and lose all this weight. No, there's no shortcut. If you think you can just take a pill, whether it's conjugated linoleic acid or some other product, and lose all that weight, you're kidding yourself. Just like the people in the high-protein diet kidded themselves, a lot of them into an early grave. You have to exercise each day, and the rule is simple. 3,500 calories less than what your body requires, and you lose weight. 3,500 or more calories, and you gain weight. So let's say you're being really strict about your diet, but then you decide not to exercise as often, you'll gain weight. And let's say you're exercising regularly, the same amount, which is good, but you've added one extra item each day, one slice of bread. At the end of a year, you have gained 9 pounds because all those extra calories add up. So if you're really exercising vigorously and you're on a plant-based diet and it's healthy, and you're taking in a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables and juices, you're probably going to be on the lean, strong side. Finally, from the University of Illinois, spending time together with your family may help strengthen the family bond, but new research from the University of Illinois shows that specifically spending time outside in nature, even just a 20-minute walk together, helps the family members get along even better. The research is based upon the attention restoration theory. Now, maybe you're not familiar with the attention restoration theory, but it describes how the interaction with natural environments can reduce mental fatigue and restore attentional functioning. And many studies have supported the theory, but most, if not all, previous studies have only looked at the benefits of spending time in nature on an individual's attention. The University of Illinois family studies took a look at what happens when you do it with another member of your family. And they found a tremendous benefit. Less irritability, more self-control, better able to pick up on social cues more easily. Because of all these dynamics, then getting along better with other family members would just be a matter of getting outside and taking a walk together in nature. It's that simple. But we don't give ourselves time to do that. We're too busy. We should, but we don't. natural health, there is a story about the emotional tragedy of antidepressants. They're found to cause delayed depression themselves. That's according to 10 independent experts. What they say is that the rates of depression in the United States have more than doubled in the past few decades. In fact, the prevalence of major depression rose from 3.3% to 7%, and it's rising. And a growing number of researchers and mental health professionals believe they know the reason why. And it's not a lack of antidepressants in the diet. In fact, a Council for Evidence-Based Psychiatry authors, 10 of them, make a compelling case against the widespread use of antidepressants. Not only are these drugs unhelpful in treating depression, they maintain, but they can actually cause depression. So if you know anyone taking antidepressant medication, please share that information with them. I have said for decades that depression happens to all of us for different reasons. We all come to different times in our life where we're faced with a crisis we're not prepared for. And it's not being prepared, not having an extended family, a council of elders, people who've been there and had that happen. So when transitions happen, such as the loss of a pet, firing from a job, a glass ceiling in a corporation, no matter how good we are, we can't get above it. The loss of a relationship, wanting to go to college but not having the money, going to college and graduating and not having a job, having a job but not a job that pays enough to pay for the debt from going to college in the first place. And you wonder, did I just waste 4 years of my life and $75,000? Yeah, you did. And that's if you didn't really indebt yourself. Those who go for an MBA or master's degree or PhD or medical doctorate degree, you're looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, that can cause depression if you wake up one day and realize, gee whiz, I had a bill, true story, that was $27,000 after the end of 4 years of college, but I've only been paying on it. I've never missed a payment. And today, 10 years later, it's $74,000. How'd that happen? Well, it's compounded interest. So there are normal and reasonable reasons we are depressed. It is not due to a brain chemical imbalance. They'd like you to believe that so they can say they're antidepressants. Now we know the very medication for anti-anxiety can cause anxiety. Antidepression can cause depression. And so it goes. And in fact, most depressed patients will experience a reoccurrence despite years of maintenance on drugs. According to a review published in Medical Hypothesis, up to 80% of patients diagnosed with major depression disorder will experience a reoccurrence despite a constant every day taking their antidepressants. Well, that means it doesn't work. Now, 10 renowned mental health experts unite to condemn antidepressants. That's correct. This group issued a scathing evaluation of the adverse effects of antidepressants and a pharmaceutical company's flawed studies and deliberate manipulation of data. The authors flatly state that selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, the SSRIs, and antipsychotic medications are no better than a placebo, a sugar pill, for treating depression. Now, according to co-author Dr. Peter Gotch, a noted clinical researcher at the University of Copenhagen, the drugs fail to treat mental or emotional problems. Quote, this is from him, there is no justification for lifetime use. That's it. And yet, you're supposed to be on them for the rest of your life. He says of antidepressants that they are simply wrong. They're not helping. And that's after doing all that research. And he also criticized the Prozac trials marked by manipulation of data and concealed results. He maintained that pharmaceutical companies conceal and suppress unfavorable studies while cherry-picking only favorable data from others. For example, he says that 25% of participants in a Prozac trial were also given a tranquilizer in order to mitigate the risk of suicide. Well, then, hey, that's not a... You're not just using one drug, Prozac, you're using a tranquilizer. So that should have completely destroyed the validity of the study, but that's not how it works. Remember, all these antidepressants are toxic and they are addictive. And there's no research showing a link between serotonin levels in the brain and depression. In fact, there's no evidence that SSRIs correlate and correct brain chemistry. In fact, the entire study group maintains that they cause brain damage. Animal studies have shown that antidepressants can shrink the connections between brain cells, which do not rejuvenate. And that will affect your sex drive and can lead to tardive dyskinesia. That's a disorder causing involuntary and repetitive muscle movements. And it can last a long time. So, in other words, get good psychotherapy that's non-pharmaceutical. That can help you. From our environmental front, new information on, this is from Tim Radford from Climate News, and he's saying, Texas, hey, you face a lot more Harvey-sized hurricanes, and they could be even worse. Here's what it says. The probability that some city in the United States, or the state of Texas, I should say, will be hit again by Harvey-sized hurricanes and rainstorms that will dump half a meter of water in a short period of time has increased 600%, and this will have increased 18-fold in the future, thanks to climate change. Now, let's just take that back for a moment and see what that means. It was nearly 10 years ago that I began a study on what impacts our climate and what can we do about it. And I did a report that I shared at the United Nations on Earth Day. And I was the keynote speaker. And I said that we have a lot of smart people in this world, people who are conscientious and who can come up with solutions. We need a Marshall Plan. The Marshall Plan, for those who are young, may not realize it, was what rebuilt Germany, Italy, and Japan, and those countries adversely affected by the Second World War. And it rebuilt them and put millions of people, tens of millions of people, back to work and created what became the thriving economy of West Germany and France and Italy, at least up through the 1970s. We need that now. We need a Marshall Plan for Fukushima. It's just spewing toxic waste, radioactive waste, every day in the air and in the water. Nothing's being done about it. We need that to de-ghettoize American cities. Nothing's being done. We need that to regrow hundreds of millions of trees across the United States that will capture the carbon, CO2, because we hit 410 parts per million. And that is really high. That means that the Earth is heating faster than any of the existing models predicted. And that means that when your air temperature goes up, your soil temperature also increases. That means it's going to be more difficult for seeds to germinate and grow to full term. Quite simply, the soil will be too hot. And we saw the consequences of that in the Middle East, in Jordan, Syria, where they had a lot of problems. They lost most of their crop to the heat, and it's only going to get worse, not better. The entire Middle East is non-sustainable. Every place in the Middle East right now, within 20 years from now, they'll have to be importing their foods. They'll have fuel, but the fuel that they're using in huge amounts, they have to be air conditioners 24/7 because it can get up to 130, 135 degrees. It's against your health to go outside. And so being air conditioned all the time, even having hydroponic houses over there, you create so much heat that it increases the heat in the atmosphere and you just feed this whole global warming phenomena. Not a good idea, but that's what they're doing. Now, I also wanted to talk about something that never gets a lot of attention, and that is the wild horses. If you live in the city, if you live in the suburbs, you're not going to see wild horses. But because I've lived on a ranch or a farm my entire adult life, and I'm engaged in animal rescue. I've rescued over 3,000 animals and got them back to health and trust and happiness and love, then found them homes or got them into some large 2,000-3,000-acre sanctuaries. I'm out there, so I see them. Right now, according to Echo Watch and Ryan Zinke, Ryan Zinke's appointment of Brian Steele, the former chief of staff of the U.S. Representative Chris Stewart, Republican from Utah, as the acting director of the Bureau of Land Management, is really dangerous, and it's out of step with the wishes of the vast majority of Americans. Why? Because they're going to slaughter 90,000 wild horses. And yet 80% of Americans are opposed to this. So this is one of those things that we have to have a call to action. Contact your, contact the Interior Secretary and say, no, we do not want to see wild horses slaughtered. Here's a quote, Representative Stewart is leading the charge to slaughter America's wild horses and burros over the opposition of 80% of Americans. Putting his deputy at the helm of the agency, these national icons, and by the way, this is important, is putting the wolf in charge of the chicken coop. So that's something we can engage in. Write, email. So that's important. Also, I want to share some things that about this is a yield curve. Now, this is about the economy. It is my belief, as well as Gerald Salonta and others, that and Michael Hudson, the noted economist, that over the next 2 years we're going to have a downward spiral. We're going to see the price of foods and other commodities necessary for life go up. We're already in a bubble in the commercial real estate market. We're in a bubble again in the mortgage market for the average citizen. We're in a bubble in the car market, where people have taken out loans to buy cars. We're buying more cars than ever before, but people are paying nothing down. And you've heard the ads, no interest for 1 year and no money down. No matter what your credit is, they'll give you a car. It's very tempting, but keep in mind, there is a huge market for used cars, but people don't want used cars. People want new, and they pay a monthly fee. The trouble is most people are delinquent on those car loans. And then the higher interest kicks in, just like a credit card. You've seen the commercials. We'll give you 1.5% back on every purchase. Yeah. How much are you charging me? Well, we're charging you 18% to start. So I'm giving you 18%. You're giving back 1.5%. So I'm still in your debt, 16.5%, and that's if I don't make a miss a payment, or I don't miss paying you whatever that payment is, because for any reason I don't have the full amount of a payment, or it's late, suddenly it goes up into the 50%. And all your credit cards go up at the same time, not just the one you're delinquent on. It's a house of cards and it's stacked against us. Well, this is from the Economic Clacks blog, and here's what they say, and I'll quote this. The yield curve has not been this flat in 10 years, and many believe this is a sign that a recession is imminent. Mind you, these are mainstream economists. Quote, whenever we see an inverted yield curve, a recession is almost always following. And that is why many analysts are deeply concerned that the yield curve is currently the flattest that it's been in about a decade. In other words, according to one of the most reliable indicators that we have, we are closer to another recession than we have been at any point since the last financial crisis. And when you combine this with all the other indicators that are screaming that a new crisis is on the horizon, a very troubling picture emerges. Hopefully this will turn out to be a false alarm, but it is looking more and more like a big economic trouble is coming in 2018. The professionals on Wall Street take the yield curve very, very seriously, and the fact that it has gotten so flat has many of them extremely concerned. Then it goes on to quote the Business Insider, quote, in the past, including before the Great Recession of 2007-2009, an inverted yield curve where long-term interest rates fall below their short-term counterparts has been a reliable predictor of recessions. The U.S. yield curve is now at its flattest in 10 years. In other words, since around the time of the major credit crunch was getting up steam. So, in lay language, here is my insight on this. And I predicted the last one accurately, and I asked people to get out of debt. Well, people had no choice but to get out of debt. Now they're back into debt up to their eyeballs. Once again, we are a consumer society, and we're buying stuff that we don't need. Certainly, we don't need all the stuff that we have with credit that we cannot afford to pay. We're going to have a big picture. Here are some of the pieces to that big picture. One, we have more college students graduating who do not have a job paying them a living wage in the field that they graduated from. Hence, their college education was really unnecessary. But they have a huge amount of debt, and they cannot pay off their debt with the current salary they're making. That's a problem. And we're talking about over 15 million people. Secondly, we have 96 million Americans who are unemployed, or working only a few hours a week, and they're not even included in the official unemployment figure, which should be around 28%. So a lot of Americans who once were gainfully employed are not now. That's a big problem. Third, we have box stores closing by the dozens, big stores, big chains. They're downsizing, they're closing, and each one of those stores has hundreds to, well, generally in the hundreds of employees, and that means tens of thousands of employees are going to be out of work. Next part of that problem is that we have a commercial real estate market where, unless you're a bank or a drugstore, you can't afford to be a retailer, for example, in Manhattan or in Los Angeles or in Miami. The rents are just too high, and landlords don't care. They're going to squeeze every penny they can out of it. They don't care if you've been there 50 years and you're a mom-and-pop store. And we've lost over 175,000 small businesses in Manhattan in the last 20 years. That's about 1.5 million people. So that is a problem. And no one seems to be paying any attention to it. And also, we have the problem with people who are not looking at the larger economy. The larger economy, you have some companies not paying any taxes, a small percentage, 1% to 4%, 5%. So they're keeping their money. So this whole thing about a tax relief for them is a joke. They don't pay taxes to begin with. And yet our budget continues to go up. They've just added an additional $500 billion over the next 5 years to our military-industrial complex on top of what they have already given them. That's obscene, and yet they say there's no money for infrastructure repair, for working on roads and bridges and dams and gas and water lines and to plant trees. And we don't have money for that, but we sure do have money for wars. So when you take all this into account, plus global warming, plus the fact that they're making their money off money. They're not opening new factories. We have all these visa people are coming over to America by the tens of thousands, now hundreds of thousands, going into the millions, and they're taking American jobs. And they're not taking entry point jobs. They're taking seniority jobs. People who've been in the community, working in a place, having a family for 20, 30 years, those people are the ones who are getting sacked. And then lastly, we have automation. Automation is coming, and over the next 5 years, it's going to decimate the assembly lines in the United States. So for all these reasons, get out of debt. Put your your money into cash, put your money into gold, silver, and treasury bonds, because they won't be defaulted upon. But please stop purchasing anything you absolutely don't need. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you from all over the world and all the different syndicated stations listening in. Thank you. And also to the people listening every day, because I know a lot of you care enough about your health that you also care about those in your life. You want to share something with them. Let's go to Aaron Russo. I think this is a really interesting discussion here, where Aaron Russo has the rare opportunity to talk with one of the longest IRS commissioners, and one most important, because this guy actually wrote rules that became law, and we're all abiding by that law. Here's Aaron Russo, who, by the way, is also a very famous movie director and producer.
This small booklet includes the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. This is a document that every citizen should read. It's a document which freed an entire nation. This is the Internal Revenue Code, and this document, and the unlawful application of this document by the Internal Revenue Service has enslaved the nation that this document attempted to free.
I was very impressed with the people in the tax honesty movement. They weren't kooks. They were highly intelligent, well-researched, and very genuine. I was wondering why I never heard about all these Supreme Court decisions in the media. So I really wanted the IRS's point of view, because to get the true story, it was imperative I hear both sides. I kept wishing Anthony Burke would call me back. He seemed like an honest man. I then proceeded to call my message machine.
Hi, this message is for Aaron Russo. This is Anthony Burke at the Internal Revenue Service. Let me suggest some people that you might want to think about talking to. One would be Don Alexander, who's a former commissioner who's here in town in Washington. Another would be Sheldon Cohen, who is both a former commissioner and former chief counsel. All those guys, I think, can answer your question about, you know, where in the tax law it says that you have to pay taxes.
Wow, good news, I thought. So I called Sheldon Cohen because he used to be the IRS commissioner. He wrote the tax code. And he was also general counsel to the IRS. He is a true expert, and I couldn't find a better person to answer my questions. He graciously agreed to my interview.
The reason I'm doing this documentary is because there are many people in America today who believe that there's no law that requires them to pay an income tax or file a 1040. And there are many people going to jail for it, fighting over it.
The Internal Revenue Code is authorized by the 16th Amendment.
I think it should be clarified. I think government should be transparent to the people. Why doesn't the IRS commissioner sit down with them and just explain it in clear English? Why?
I don't think they really care. They don't think. I think they're just playing word games.
You don't think they're sincere people? You
know? No, I don't think they're sincere people.
What does voluntary compliance mean?
And why does the IRS code say it's voluntary to comply, not mandatory?
That's a word euphemism we use. We use voluntary compliance when we talk about traffic signals. Most people, at 2 o'clock in the morning, do you stop at a red light?
Yeah.
Is there a cop there?
Well, sometimes I don't.
Well, I do. And most of us do.
Right.
But that's voluntary compliance.
That was a complete perversion of logic. Traffic laws state that it is mandatory to stop at a red light. The IRS code says it's voluntary to comply. Mandatory and voluntary are the complete opposite of each other. Yet he wants us to believe that they mean the same thing.
You prosecute somebody of information put on their 1040?
Yes.
Right, so doesn't that violate the Fifth Amendment?
No.
But the Fifth Amendment says I don't have to do anything that incriminates myself.
Well, it doesn't incriminate you to put your income down.
But you said before I could be put in jail for it.
The commissioner wants us to believe that although the IRS demands that you fill out the 1040 and you can go to jail for it, that they are not violating your Fifth Amendment rights of self-incrimination. That is absurd.
Isn't it true that the word income is not defined anywhere in the internal...
The law says that the government has a right to tax income from any source derived.
So, but the word income is not defined in the code. It just says income without a definition of what income is.
That's right.
Correct?
Yeah.
But there are many different kinds of taxes. Well, how can an American citizen know what income is if the code doesn't define it? If they're paying an income
because
tax...
Because the courts have all defined it.
Do you remember what constitutional attorney Edwin Vieira said?
The definition of income in the Constitution was given in the Eisner versus Montgomery case, and it turns on gains or profits that are made from some activity.
So the Supreme Court has ruled income is not wages, it's not labor, it's gain from corporate activity.
I believe that a man's labor is his private property.
That's your view, but it's not the law.
The Supreme Court's even said your labor is your private property. When I go to work for somebody, it's a trade. It's an even exchange. I do some work, you give me some money.
Case and the Stanton case. And the Brugshaven case and the Stanton case said that the 16th Amendment gave the government no new taxing power.
I'm not going to argue the niceties of that with you.
And it came up again in a case called Peck versus Lowe, where the Supreme Court said the 16th Amendment did not extend Congress's taxing power to any new or accepted subjects. In other words, if you weren't taxable before the 16th, you weren't taxable after the 16th.
Today I interviewed a juror. Okay, who sat on a case. And they found the person not guilty for lack of filing. Okay? And I asked her why they found them not guilty. And she said because the IRS couldn't show us the law that made him liable to file a 1040.
All they need to do, if there is a law, is to show us the law.
And the reason they didn't do it was why?
Because there is no law.
Title 26 requires you to file a return.
But doesn't Title 26 have to be in compliance with the Supreme Court decision?
Internal Revenue Code was written after it? No, that's not...
I can't believe what I just heard. Rewind.
You're going to take a 1920 case and superimpose it on the whole Internal Revenue Code that was written after it? No, that's not...
Remember he said earlier the Internal Revenue Code was authorized by the 16th Amendment?
The Internal Revenue Code is authorized by the 16th Amendment.
Remember, the Supreme Court said the 16th Amendment did not give the government any new taxing power. These decisions have never been overturned. Let's listen further.
Can the lower courts overrule the Supreme Court?
No.
How are they putting people in jail today for not paying a tax on their labor when the Supreme Court said they don't have to?
Doesn't the IRS code have to be in compliance with the Supreme Court? That's my
Aaron,
big question.
This is a waste of time.
Well,
whatever I say, you're not going to believe.
He's right. I don't believe him. And neither should you. He wants us to believe we should obey the IRS code, which is being enforced in violation of the many Supreme Court decisions.
If the Supreme Court made a decision...
Thank you, Aaron. I think we're finished.
I'm sorry, Mr. Cohen, you're doing that.
Well, I'm sorry that you constantly re-argue the point. You're liable because the law says that you're liable, and the courts say the law says you're liable, and that's why you're liable.
You see, he's talking about the lower courts, who are not in compliance with the Supreme Court, as they have to be.
Doesn't the court have to be in compliance with the Supreme Court?
The Supreme Court has so held.
Where?
You caught me unprepared.
I'll come back.
No, I don't want to do that.
But let me ask you a hypothetical question.
No. You're making silly arguments here.
Why is the Supreme Court decision a silly argument?
Because it's inapplicable.
That made my heart stop. He just said Supreme Court decisions do not apply to the IRS. That's the behavior you would expect from a totalitarian country, maybe China or Russia or Cuba. Not from America. They're just making up the law as they go along. Now I knew the tax honesty movement was right. The IRS thrives on intimidation and fear, not by law. It's no different than a criminal protection racket. using force to extract your money from you. Then the former IRS commissioner, now working at a prestigious Washington law firm, threatens me. Watch.
Aaron, you understand Yiddish, Kornisht Helfen.
For those of you who don't understand Yiddish, that means nothing will help you. Now it all became clear. I understood why the IRS wouldn't go on camera and talk about where the law was. I understood why all the senators I called refused to be interviewed. There is no law. And now you know what our political leaders and the courts have known for decades and have tried to cover up. The United States Constitution strictly forbids a direct, unapportioned tax on the wages and salaries of American citizens. The United States Supreme Court has consistently ruled that the income tax is a tax on profits and gains, not on labor and wages. On behalf of the American people, I challenge the IRS to show me a statute that allows a direct, unapportioned tax on the wages and labor of the American people. And if I'm wrong, I will give my most humble apologies to the IRS. If the IRS is wrong, and there is no law, then every person who's been jailed should be let out of jail immediately, and any assets seized should be returned to their rightful owners. If this is a nation of laws and a free country, then the IRS should show the law to the American people.
Okay, that's Aaron Russo, and he really did his homework. I saw two additional pieces an hour long on what his research had shown, interviewing top lawyers and top tax lawyers on this very subject, and scholars and constitutional lawyers. It's just another piece of the puzzle that we're not paying attention to. But there's a lot of those. Final comment last night on 60 Minutes, I commend them for doing a piece on the most challenged people in the world right now. And unfortunately, in Yemen, unfortunately, where they did show all these children dying, and they did show that the numbers, that it's going to be just devastating. We're talking about Holocaust numbers, 7 to 20 million people starving to death, and over a million with cholera. They did talk about the prince, and but they mentioned repeatedly, and Saudi Arabia's allies. Not once did 60 Minutes mention Barack Obama. Not once did they mention Trump and the Pentagon and the fact that Saudi Arabia is only able to exercise their power because of the weapon systems that we provide them. We have boots on the ground in Yemen. We are constantly supervising with intelligence and satellite feeds. Not once was that mentioned on 60 Minutes. So I'm very concerned when 60 Minutes intentionally denies the 1,600-pound gorilla in the room, the United States and our foreign policy. Otherwise, it was a very compelling and heart-wrenching special, and I'm glad they did it. They just didn't do enough. So we'll have someone from Yemen on an upcoming program telling you about America in Yemen and why we're there and why Saudi Arabia is there, the truth of it. Have a nice day, everyone. Thank you for listening.